Good morning. Let's try that one more time. Good morning. All right. Victor, you did a great job. I love Victor. I love Victor. Did Victor say amen? Oh, okay. I was like, wow, I'm impressed. Victor is always smiling, isn't he? I love that about him. I mean, those people that just make you feel good when you walk up to them, Victor is one of those for me, and I love him. And Brad, you're right. Amen. Victor did a great job. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16. We're going to begin in verses 13 and go through verse 19. And I want to look at this passage this morning because it's a rather interesting passage. And I want to spin it a little, if you will, and follow along with me as we do that. You know, it's interesting because in this particular text, we get to find out who Jesus is. And we also get to find out what everyone else is saying about who he is. And I find that that's interesting because people were talking about Jesus, possibly because they heard of a lot of the miracles that he was performing in and around that area. News about what he was doing was spreading fast, and people were interested in him. They didn't really know, many of them didn't really know who he was. They had ideas about who they thought he was. And then Jesus more specifically asks a really good question, well, who do you say that I am? And it's just a very good context for us to consider this morning. The Bible is full of a lot of great questions, and this is one of them. So begin with me in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. He's asking, who do these people say that I am? But he's also declaring in this question who he is. Right? Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? I'm telling you who I am, but I want to know what they say about who I am. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Great statement of faith. Accurate statement of faith. True concerning the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The rock being the statement of faith that Peter made, that he is the Christ. He is the one on whom the church is built. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Kingdom and church used synonymously here, talking about the same thing. I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Literal translation for that last part is, it has already been bound by God. It has already been loosed by God. God does the binding and the loosing. No man has that responsibility. God did not give that responsibility to these men. But it's an interesting section of scriptures, one that we're all familiar with. And a lot of times when we look at this passage, we talk about the church. And we're not necessarily going to do that this morning. I want to spin it a little bit. You know, we know who Jesus is, and we know what people were saying about who he was. And it was a great question, even pointed to the disciples about, who do you think that I am? I'm curious, though, if Jesus were here today, if he showed up right here in the Fulshear Church of Christ, and he was looking at us and talking and speaking about spiritual matters concerning the kingdom of God, and he just paused for a moment and said, but let me ask you a question. Who are you? And what do those people out there say about who you are? Because there is some truth to what people out there say about who we are. They see us every day. They watch us live our lives before them. We live in that proverbial fishbowl, right? You know, they would have, maybe not completely accurate, maybe some would even lie about who we are. That might be true. But I would say that there's probably some fair, truthful commentary by those people about who we are, because who we say we are versus who we actually live like might be two totally different people. But what if Jesus asked that question today? What would you say? Some people might say, And I've written several down. I tried to think about different people and occupations here. Some might say salesman, teacher, coach, engineer, business owner, banker, investor, general laborer, accountant, fireman, law enforcement officer, legal assistant, public relations spokesperson, retired, that's a great one, isn't it? Project manager, secretary, child care professional, soldier, mom, dad, grandparent, some student. But those are just titles. Those are just words that might identify a general aspect of our lives. I'm not really asking what occupation are you employed for or what employer you are employed by. I'm asking more a little deeper here. Who are you? And what would others say about who we are? I think that's an important idea. You know, I want to shift a little bit here and get us to think about the second mile for just a moment. You know, we in modern day conversation, we talk a lot about going the second mile, don't we? We want to be second mile people. We want to go the second mile. Well, in the first century, you might remember, or maybe you've read somewhere along the way, you're not necessarily going to find the actual law in the Bible, but you will see reference to it that Jesus says, you know, you've heard it stated, and you might remember this from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. You see, during that particular time, with all of the conquered people by the Romans, they would had a law on the books that if they were in a conquered territory, they could have a citizen of that conquered territory carry their burden, literally their backpack, their bag, their travel bag. They would require by law a citizen of that conquered land to carry that 1 mile. And you, as a citizen of that conquered land under Roman authority, were by rule of law obligated to carry that 1 mile. No exceptions. Obligated to carry it 1 mile. Now, so Roman soldier walks up and he says, carry this bag. By Roman law, you would have to carry that bag 1 mile, carry that burden. It was just part of what they were in charge. They were in force. They could by force command you. You could suffer the penalty of jail time. There were legal consequences if you broke the 1 mile law. It was just part of the Roman law. Well, what's interesting is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus has a discussion. He gives a command about going one more mile. You know, there are a lot of people traveling that 1 mile because they're required to by law. The second mile, though, is rather difficult. But understand, you have to travel the first mile in order to get to the second one. And Jesus is wanting to get his people to understand, and certainly in the Sermon on the Mount, that whole sermon is a transformation of what everyone else thought versus what Jesus wants, what God is looking for. And God is looking for second mile people. He's looking for people who are committed in their heart to not just do what's obligated, but also to do what is by way of freedom of choice, something that will set you apart from everyone else. The second mile sets us apart. The second mile says we're different than everyone else. The second mile says we're going to do more than what's obligated because we serve a higher law. For example, I think that's one of the things that Jesus is referring to. Now, not verbatim to Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, but look at that passage for a moment. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. Now, I believe that is a higher law, and that Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount with the second mile, is referring to a higher law. That there's something more that I'm requiring of you. There's something more that God is requiring of you. Everyone else does one thing, but I want you to do something drastically different. I want you to go the second mile. And notice, here's the higher law. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Right? I'm different. I've got a different way of thinking. My way is completely different. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Now, we might say, well, that second mile doesn't make sense. And God says, listen, I'm not asking you if it makes sense to you. I'm telling you it makes sense to me. And you're not going to be on my level. There's a higher law where I might require something of you that you just by faith need to accept and obey. And this was the case with the second mile. I mean, it may not have made a lot of sense to people. Listen, we're under Roman bondage. We're your people. And of all people, we are the ones that you should respect most. And you should do something to them about making us carry this one bag for 1 mile. God says, okay, I'll do that. I'll take care of that. What I'll do is I'll do more than that. I'll ask you, by your own free choice, to carry it too. And it'll set you apart from everyone else. The second mile will make the difference in my people. And it's a way of compassion. It's a way of freedom of choice. It's a way of love. The second mile is a difficult way. Going the second mile means living above the norm. It means treating people with kindness and respect, regardless of what they deserve. God nowhere, Jesus nowhere in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, with all that he said about loving your enemies and doing good to those who spitefully use you and praying for them and turning the other cheek and all of that stuff, he never once said that those people deserve it. But then again, when we think about his grace toward us, do we really deserve it? I mean, honestly, did God go the second mile for us? Yes, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the 100th, and the 1,000th mile for us. You see, this second mile is a generous mile. It's going beyond what's expected. It's going beyond what is the norm. And God wants us to live above the norm, and he wants us to treat people with kindness and love. It's a distinguishing mark about who we are, right? That's John 13, 34, and 35. By this, everyone's going to know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. It's living a life full of joy and obedience. So let's think about that second mile for just a moment. That second mile is, number one, a choice. You realize love's a choice? Isn't love a choice? It's not just a feeling. It's not only an emotion. Right, it's a decision. I'm going to make a decision to love this person regardless of who they are, regardless of whether they deserve my love or not. It's a choice. And so every day we're making choices. And certainly the second mile is a choice. It's a decision that says I'm going to live according to a higher law and above the norm. We can choose to act out of love for others, not because they deserve it. But then again, I don't deserve God's grace and love. I didn't deserve God going the second mile or the 1,000th mile for me. But he did it anyway. He chose to do that. And so it's not because we simply feel like going that second mile. We've got enough endurance to make it the second mile. We do it because it's a decision. It's a choice. Think about it from this perspective. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Again, a passage that we normally may not use in this context, but I think it's so appropriate for this context. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, a sacrifice that is holy, a sacrifice that is acceptable, a higher law, remember we're thinking about that, a sacrifice that is acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, right? We're not going to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is a decision, right, that we make every day to let God, by his will, transform the way we think about people, the way we think about this world, the way we think about our purpose and position in this world. And again, we're living according to a higher standard. We're not living only by the standard and rules and laws of this world. We're living according to a higher standard. It's a decision that we make. And we're making a decision to transform into the image of God and not be transformed into the image of the world. To be molded and shaped by God according to His perfect and acceptable will. Choosing to be transformed into the image of God, of Jesus is something that we should all desire to do in this life. It's the transforming power of the cross. And going this second mile leads us in a greater way with a greater witness to the cross of Jesus Christ. Number two, I think we understand it's a generous gift as well. You think about this, it's a gift of your generosity. You in this second mile are giving of yourself. You're giving yourself to the people that you're serving. You're giving yourself to the person that you're going the second mile with. And let me just say, the second mile may not always be that bad, right? In this generous gift of giving yourself, if you pour yourself out in the second mile, you know what you'll gain? Possibly. Not always. A friend. Right? Possibly a brother or sister in Christ. A fellow family member, joint heir in the kingdom of God to the riches of God's grace. Isn't that awesome? That second mile doesn't have to be a mile that's a burden. That second mile can be a mile that you gain a relationship with the person that you're walking with. One that you gain a spiritual and holy relationship. But it is a giving away of ourselves. It's a generous gift. What better to give to someone else than giving yourself? Your energy, your time, your resources, your love, your mercy, your grace to someone else. Not a greater gift that you can give than that. And giving yourself in that second mile is a blessing to the person that is receiving it. You remember what Luke records in Acts 20, verse 35? Now, I always say this, but and it's true. We don't find in the Gospels anywhere Jesus making this statement that we find in Acts 20, 35. But Luke says that Jesus said it, or he records them saying that Jesus said it. And so that answers the question. Jesus said it. But let me just say this. Even though we don't have these words recorded in the Gospels, you know, we do have it recorded Jesus saying this in the Gospels. And here's how we have it recorded. Because He lived loudly and preached boldly this, it's more blessed to give than to receive, every day of His life. By giving Himself ultimately on the cross, but by giving Himself away to people every day with teaching and pouring out His energy and pouring out His love and serving people, you know what? He didn't have to say it. It doesn't have to be recorded. Because if you read about His life, you know what? What everyone was saying, they were noticing that He was someone special in Matthew 16. They were noticing that He's someone holy because they didn't all buy into that. But when He asked Peter, who do they say that I am? They're saying some pretty impressive things about Him. But that's because every day He was giving Himself away. And that's certainly true, should be certainly true of you and me. That we need to be as much like Jesus as we can. We're not perfect like He was. We're broken, we're frail. But we need to live as much like Him as we can. And that means giving ourselves away. Giving ourselves away can lead to them learning about the greatest gift of all. And that's the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. The second mile is ours to give, right? It's not required by law, right? At least in Roman law, from which the principle came, it was only required to go 1 mile. The second one is a mile that we get to give away. And in this, we're giving a generous gift. Notice Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Give a generous gift, and ultimately we receive a generous gift from God Almighty, our salvation. Point number three, it's a humble response, right? It's a response of humility. It takes a lot of humility to walk the second mile. It takes a lot of humility to say, I'm going to do more. I'm going to submit to the will of God. I'm going to go above and beyond. Jim mentioned in the prayer this morning, I don't know if you picked up on it, he talked about what was happening in the young adult class during class time. And one of the things that he referenced was Philippians 2. And he talked about how that we need to serve others, and specifically serving others with humility. And that's the whole context of Philippians chapter 2, isn't it? That Jesus humbly came and served and loved and gave himself completely away. Now think about this in verses 3 and following. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others, right? We're humbly submitting to the will of God. We're not looking out for ourselves selfishly. We're humbly submitting to the will of God and looking out for the interest of others. What did Jesus do? Look out for himself only? Or look out for the interest of others? And Paul goes on, have this mind in, among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but he emptied himself. A person who is humble has to first empty themselves. Jesus literally did that. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. Notice this, he humbled himself, became obedient. You see, it takes humility to obey. And specifically in this second mile, it takes humility. It's the example of Jesus Christ. I love this statement by Frederick Collins. He said, there are two types of people in the world, right? There are two types of people. First is the person who walks into a room and says, well, I'm here. And then there are those who come in and say, ah, there you are. Which type of person do you think is more the second mile, the humble example? Everyone, look at me. I'm here. Ah, there you are. Looking out for someone else. Looking out for the interest of others. The second mile person is a person who is looking out for the interest of others. Giving this gift of the second mile means obeying a higher law. A humble example that God will appreciate, will honor, and one day ultimately reward. I mean, think about the second mile for a moment by way of humility. To love your neighbor is the first mile, right? That's the first mile. Love your neighbor. To love your enemy, that's the second mile. To bless those who bless you is the first mile. To bless those who curse you, see, that's the second mile. That's what sets us apart. To do good to those who do good to you, that's the first mile. That's easy, right? I mean, do good to those who do good to us. We love that. Yeah, I'll be kind to the people who are kind to me. I'll speak nicely to the people who speak nicely about me, who give me generous gifts. I'll give generously back, right? That's what we do. We do good to those who do good to us. The second mile is to do good to those who hate you. Praying for those who pray for you, that's the first mile. The second mile, praying for those who spitefully use you. See, it takes a lot of humility to walk this second mile. But also notice with me, it's an act of kindness. You see, walking this second mile, it's an act of kindness. From a generous heart, from a heart that is filled with love, a heart that responds humbly to the other person in the second mile, it takes an act of kindness. Listen to what Paul says. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones who are holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness, that's our word. Put on humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You see this act of kindness, doing things. In other words, kind of what we're saying here, it's one thing to think about other people, right? Isn't it a totally different thing to actually do something for other people? We might say the first mile is thinking about other people and and praying for them. But the second mile is actually putting that practice, putting that idea into practice, right? That second mile is actually doing acts of kindness for others. I used to always, when I would do funerals, I would say, you know, I'm grateful to those of you for your random acts of kindness. And I used to say that all the time. And I still say it on occasion, meaning random, meaning different kinds of acts of kindness. And one day Christy said, I wish you would just say various acts of kindness. Random makes it seem like there's no thought put into it. Now, you know, she may be right, you know. But that's the idea that I'm conveying here. It's not just something that's random. It's something that's completely thought out. An act of kindness is something that you put some time into thinking about. That's walking that second mile. It's not just thinking about others. It's actually doing something for others, doing something for them. Going the second mile means demonstrating by your actions. Think about it. Focusing on what's right rather than focusing on what's wrong. Who focuses on what's wrong? A lot of people out there. But you know what the people in here should be thinking about? Well, what's right about the situation? What's good about the situation? Forgiving as one who is forgiven rather than harboring hatred and bitterness. You know, the easy thing in any relationship is when someone does something wrong to you, to just do something wrong back or to harbor a feeling of hatred, letting that, as the Hebrew writer puts it, letting that root of bitterness, let me get it right, get my words right, that brute of bitterness, that's kind of what I was trying to say, that root of bitterness, right? Don't let that root of bitterness spring up in your heart. But that's an easy thing to do, right? That's what everyone out there does. But here, as people who are forgiven, we're going to be willing to forgive. Faithfully serving others as though you are serving Christ. That's certainly what's mentioned by Paul in Colossians 3:21. You don't serve as though you're serving men. You serve men as though you're serving Christ. That's the second mile. I want to tell you, going this extra mile, it's never crowded. It's not a crowded road. The second mile is not a crowded road. The second mile may be a lonely road, but it is one that is a desirable road by the Lord. It's one that He wants us to follow. So let me ask you again this morning. Who are you? Really, who are you? What do people out there say about who you are? Are you a second mile follower? That's what God's wanting from every one of us. He's wanting us to be the best we can be. And He's wanting us to go that second mile. It's not an easy mile. It's a decision that you're going to make. It's a choice. It's a generous gift. It's a gift where you give yourself away. It's a gift that in all respects is a gift that helps us to live out the example of Jesus. You remember what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6? If any man claims to walk in Him, he must walk as Jesus walked. Live in Him must walk as Jesus walked. Well, Jesus walked the second mile. And if we're following Him, you know what we're going to do? We're going to walk that second mile with Him. We're going to follow in His steps, as Peter would say. What about you this morning? Have you walked the aisle? A short one, really, to accept Jesus? Verbally? Communicate your faith in Him by saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Being immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. Have you walked the aisle to accept Jesus? If you haven't, that invitation's open this morning. You see, He went the second mile for you, and He's willing to give you what we cannot give you, what no person in this world can give you, and that's salvation. That's your greatest need, and He's willing to meet you at the cross. Cover you by His blood in the waters of baptism. If you need to respond to Him this morning, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.